As President-elect George W. Bush put the final touches on his cabinet this past week, Oval Office incumbent Bill Clinton pushed to put the final touches on his presidency. Mr. Clinton protected millions of acres of national forest from development, received a report urging ratification of a nuclear test ban treaty, and worked hard for a last-minute peace deal between Israel and the Palestinians. Doyle McManus is Washington bureau chief for the Los Angeles Times. He's watched the Clinton administration over the years and is keeping a close eye on the evolving Bush administration, and he's in the studio this morning. Good morning, Doyle.
Good morning, Leanne.
If Mr. Clinton manages an 11th-hour Middle East peace deal, he would get a lot of applause from everybody involved. But many of his other activities seem designed to make life a little bit more difficult for President-elect Bush when he takes office in 2 weeks.
Well, actually, Leanne, some of the people in the incoming Bush administration aren't sure whether a Middle East peace deal would make their life easier or harder either. But you're quite right. In the waning weeks, Bill Clinton has put about a third of the national forests off limits to logging. He's issued new rules, new labor rules on ergonomics. He's taking action, extending health care to more poor children. He's sending up rafts of what are called recess appointments of federal judges and other office holders. In effect, putting a whole lot of stuff in place that the new Bush administration is either going to have to try and knock down or just learn to live with.
What's his underlying objective with his emphasis on environmental issues, particularly protecting the forest land?
Well, the environmental issue and forests in particular are something that Bill Clinton has owed to one of his core constituencies for 8 years. He campaigned in 1992, in effect promising to put those forest lands off limits and never did it. And in the 1996 campaign, angry environmentalists came out around his motorcade and his events with chainsaws. In fact, there was a demonstration across the street from the White House one weekend where about 40 people ran chainsaws at blinding decibel level to point out that Bill Clinton had never delivered on that promise. So this is, in effect, a final last-minute chance to deliver on something that's 8 years old.
If we were to ascribe motive to all of this activity from the incumbent president, could it be because he's not handing over the reins to his vice president, Al Gore?
That has a lot to do with it. If Al Gore were coming into office, of course, some of these things could be actions that Gore would take. Some of them might still be things Clinton would do to make it easier for Gore simply to pick up on them. But there's a longer-term motive here. As with the forest issue, Bill Clinton has only a few weeks left to fulfill some of the promises that he has that are 5 or 6 or 8 years old. But he is also setting up some of the issues for debate between the Bush administration and Democrats in Congress. The environment is a key issue that Democrats believe most of the country agrees with them on. It is going to be a key flashpoint over the next 2 years. And for Dick Gephardt and other Democrats who want to win the House back for Democrats, they want the environment to be a big deal.
When President Clinton takes off in the next 2 weeks to go to New Hampshire, in the Midwest, where he took his bus tour, his home state of Arkansas, is this a victory lap?
Sure. It sure is a victory lap, and it is one of the last pieces of enjoyment he gets out of the office. But almost more intriguing is the question of, what is Bill Clinton's next job? What's his next role in American politics? It's impossible to imagine this young man, not yet 55 years old, disappearing from the scene. And in fact, already he appears to be moving into a kind of unspoken role as the leading Democrat, the leading fundraiser, the leading spokesman. I think we're going to see him try out a little bit whether that works and whether he can continue to be the sort of campaigner in chief. It is not an accident that his chief fundraiser, Terry McAuliffe, was named the chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
Talk a little bit about the president-elect and now what he will be facing in terms of the confirmation process for his cabinet appointees.
Well, George W. Bush is getting pretty high marks from people for completing his cabinet in record time, not by a record date, but in record time from when it started. started. A lot of the initial fire, of course, was directed from Democrats at John Ashcroft, the nominee for Attorney General. But that has changed a little bit. There aren't any senators who appear ready to declare themselves against Ashcroft, but momentum is building against Linda Chavez, the nominee for Secretary of Labor. She is a woman. She is Hispanic. She's going to be she's been nominated for labor, but the groups she has arrayed against her are women's groups, Hispanic groups, and organized labor. That's sort of like starting out with three strikes against you. There are some Machiavellian souls in this capital who would say that she may have been the sacrificial lamb, the one sent out to take the heat to let Ashcroft slip through.
Doyle McManus is Washington Bureau Chief of the Los Angeles Times and a regular guest here on Weekend Edition. Thanks a lot, Doyle.
Thank you, Leanne.